My guest today, Mr. Dan Walters, he's been a journalist for over about 60 years, spending all but a few of those years working for California newspapers. At one point in his career, age 22, he was the nation's youngest daily newspaper editor. After three newspaper editor positions, he joined the Sacramento Union's Capital Bureau in 1975, and in 1981, Walters began writing the state's only daily newspaper column devoted to California political, economic, and social events. In 1984, he moved to the Sacramento Bee. He's written more than 10,000 columns. In midway 2017, he left the Bee and went to the Fly. No, he went online to CalMatters. CalMatters.org is where you can find him. 1986, he wrote a book, New California, Facing the 21st Century. And he's the founding editor of the California Political Almanac, co-author of a book on lobbying entitled The Third House, Lobbyist Money and Power in Sacramento, and contributed chapters to two other books, Remaking California and The New Political Geography of California. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Dan Walters.
Thank you.
The New Political Geography of California, isn't there a website or something about geography? There's a guest that I interviewed. Is it?
Not familiar with that. The book that I contributed chapter two was just about how the political, how politics evolves in various regions of the state over time. And I wrote a chapter about how the dramatic transformation of Los Angeles County into a blue county that, since Los Angeles County has a quarter of the state's population, how it then shifted the entire political orientation of California when Los Angeles shifted.
And what year would that have been, approximately?
The shift occurred in the 1990s, basically in the late 1990s, middle-late 1990s, headed forward and then on into the future. But the shift began in the 1990s with the basically collapse of the aerospace industry in Southern California after the end of the Cold War, and a huge migration out of Southern California of aerospace workers and their families that changed the political orientation of that area, and particularly in Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County, up to that point, had been kind of neutral in statewide elections. In other words, Democrats and Republicans ran about even in Los Angeles County, and so political races were decided elsewhere in the state, and basically, generally speaking, to the advantage of Republicans. But when L.A. County shifted leftward in the 90s, it made a huge difference for the entire state. It kind of tilted the entire state leftward towards the Democratic Party.
Where it remains today, and we might cover some issues about Governor Newsom and that very issue of kind of straddling the line between his wanting to be liberal environmentalist and the pragmatic approach that he recently took with some columns you wrote about the nuclear power plant. Great story. Of course, the end of the Cold War, we just had the death of Gorbachev.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty apropos that you have a little Cold War story to describe.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the highlights of my career was actually being one of the very few reporters allowed to cover in person a Gorbachev speech in San Francisco back in 1990. And it was kind of part of the opening of Russia to the West. And anyway, it was a very interesting experience to actually see the man in person and watch how he worked and everything.
Now, he used an interpreter, or did he speak English?
He used an interpreter, as I recall. I mean, it's been 30-some years that I think he used an interpreter. It was a speech to a business group in San Francisco. I think it was in the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco.
You know, last time, my guest Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, CalMatters.org, last time you were on, about three, 4 months ago, I was asking you about Perry Mason, Raymond Burr, and you told me you sat next to him at an event, and now I mentioned Gorbachev, so you're quite the name dropper.
No, I don't mean to be a name dropper, but just sometimes when you spend as 60 some years in journalism, you do get to see some interesting, meet some interesting people and be involved in some interesting situations. Let's put it that way.
Well,
I tell you, I'll give you, since I can name drop, I'll drop another name. John Glenn was at a Democratic convention in Sacramento in 1976. He was running for president along with Jimmy Carter and some other people. In fact, Carter had just announced the day before and nobody paid any attention to him whatsoever. Bill Glenn was kind of the star of the convention. Anyway, he and I had quite a long conversation. Matter of fact, whether we were related or not, because my mother's mother was a Glenn from Ohio, and of course John Glenn was from Ohio, and we finally decided that we might be, and then later on when I did some genealogical studies, I figured out that we were not related in the United States, but that our families possibly were related over in Northern Ireland, where they came from.
My friend keeps telling me to use this these different services just to. She's done it. She's found out all these long lost relatives, and I haven't tried it. But so you did this way back in the day.
I was just trying to trace back the Glenn family to my ancestor, my sixth great grandfather, who immigrated from Northern Ireland about 1730, and. The reason I was interested in it, because his great-grandson was a farmer in California for whom Glenn County is named. And so that Glenn, whose name was Hugh Glenn, was a rather prominent person in California back in the 1870s. In fact, he was the 1879 Democratic candidate for governor of California. He was a very large farmer. And so his great-grandfather was my sixth great-grandfather. So that's the genealogical studies I was trying to figure out, trace that lineage back to the original immigrant to America.
My guest, Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, calmatters.org, and absolutely was joking when I said, you're name-dropping. If anything, I'm not dropping the names, and you're just picking up the ball and running with it. And I do, I do remember... you were on, it was a year or two ago, whenever, and we did a whole segment on Glenn County and that whole story. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is a very interesting story. Yeah, it is indeed.
You should.
It's a kind of the story of California in many respects, was the story of John Glenn or Hugh Glenn.
You should write a column or something. You have so much knowledge.
Yeah, I should write a column someday.
You haven't written a book in quite some time. Are you going to, anything in the works there?
No, I'm too lazy to write another book. But writing a book's hard work. I kind of liken it to being pregnant, because you carry this thing around with you, and you carry it around with you, and you carry it around, and finally you get to disgorge it. But you carry it around with you for a long time. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night, well, I should have wrote it that way or that way. No, writing a book is hard work. I'm too lazy in my old age to write another book.
Did I ever ask you if you knew Andrew Ferguson?
No, and it doesn't ring a bell with me offhand.
He was basically East Coast. He wrote for the wrote a couple of books, nothing big. He's working on a book right now on Nixon, and he rented a furnished rental from me in downtown Santa Barbara for a year, and we became friends. And I did an interview with him on the program, and exactly what you're saying, you know, it's just writing this book. It's just, it's a lot of work and it's brutal. He was a writer for a magazine, but I think it might be kind of left-leaning, not the Washington, we'll have to Google, Andrew Ferguson and we'll figure that out. But,
I interviewed Nixon one time. We were when he was running for governor of California in 1962.
Say again, 1962?
Yeah, he ran for governor in California in 1962 against Pat Brown. And that was the first year I ever covered politics was in 1962. He happened to come through Eureka, where I was working at the paper there, and I was the one that wound up interviewing him.
Well, that's a big deal. I mean, he was a past vice president.
Right.
So that was a big deal. How did he treat you?
Oh, I guess he treated me like a kid, because that's what I was. I was like 17 years old or something, 18, something like that. You know, it was not a long interview. It was just he just was made a stop in Eureka, and I asked him a few questions, and he went on to... It looked at the time like he was going to win, that he was going to defeat Pat Brown. And it turned out he didn't, obviously, and the rest is history. He went on to win the presidency. But, it's like I say, if you stay in this business long enough, you do it, wind up being in some interesting situations and meeting some interesting people.
My guest, Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, writing now for CalMatters.org, CalMatters.org. I met another friend at this furnished rental, Rick Rossovich, who's a retired actor. He was one of the four guys in Top Gun. He was Slider, and then he was in Roxanne. Oh, okay. What? You know him?
Nope, don't know him.
Don't know him. Anyway,
I haven't met very many actors. They kind of drop in and out of the political business. And I've met a few, like Jane Fonda, and she was campaigning with her husband Tom Hayden for Senate back in 76, and then Jerry Brown, of course, was kind of Hollywood's favorite politician. So I used to the celebrities used to show up a lot for his events, and you know, I'd talk to him or see him and whatnot at his events.
Well, was he married to or living with that famous singer?
Who, Tom Hayden?
Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown. Wasn't he dating some...
Oh, Jerry Brown. Of course, Linda Ronstadt was his girlfriend at the time. And she was obviously connected to Hollywood and the whole music scene. And Jerry Brown lived down there. He lived in Hollywood. That was his official residence at the time. And he hung around a lot kind of a younger set of celebrities down there at Lucy's El Dobe and other hangouts in Hollywood. And so I was covering campaign pretty actively in those days in politics. So I used to spend a lot of time down there, and you run into all these people that hung around Jerry's orbit. I kind of had some connection with a lot of these people one time or another.
Well, the reason why I mentioned Rick Rossovich is that he, like you, I mean, he's got a memory that won't quit. And he was in the business for quite a long time. He never made, you know, Tom Cruise kind of movies and name brand, but he did a lot. And he has worked with everybody. So you could name one person, like we've been doing here, naming people, and you have a story. So my idea, I told him he should write a book called Hollywood and Me, and there's just in the table of contents, just list people's names. And somebody mm-hmm. will be named in, you know, five different chapters because they, you know, 6 degrees of separation. So I imagine...
No, that's like, Kevin Bacon, right? 6 degrees of separation. Coincidentally, my mother had one of her shows on television while I was visiting her today. And Kevin Bacon was the guest on this talk show just today.
Yeah, I don't know why that 6 degrees of separation is attributed to him, but that would be a good book for Hollywood, and I guess it would be a good book for you. You know, just different names, and people like reading about, you know, the history of people. And your mom now is how old?
106. Well, I'm visiting her right now. I'm in her spare bedroom right now talking to you. So it was Labor Day, and I didn't have to work, so I came over to spend some time with her.
Now, is the temperature 106, or is that her age?
Her age is 106, and it's going to be 106 in Sacramento today, and probably more. When I was driving over to her house at 10 o'clock this morning, my car thermometer said 90 at 10 o'clock. And it's supposed to be somewhere possibly as high as 110 to 112 in Sacramento today.
That's wild. Well, wish her well. And if I was going to ask her one question, it would be, when you were growing up as a boy, did she ever look at you and think, well, this guy's going to become a columnist? He likes to write. He likes to analyze.
I think she'd have been happy. I think she'd have been happy if she just thought I would stay out of jail.
Well, she really set the bar low for you.
Well, I did get kicked out of high school, so I was somewhat rebellious. So she she had some reason to worry about me.
Well, I'm glad things turned out for you, Dan. That's quite a turnaround. My guest, Dan Walters, syndicated columnist since they invented the printing press, I guess, calmatters.org.
Yeah, damn near.
Yeah. calmatters.org. Well, you know what? Let's take a commercial break. And we've been talking about, 14 or so minutes, and I haven't asked you one question of everything that I lined up to talk to you about.
No, that's fine.
No, I think it was actually, it was probably better than any of the, I never have any real questions for you, but I just print snippets of your columns. And so we take a commercial break. My guest, Dan Walters, will come back and we'll ask him some of the things he wrote about California struggling to keep the lights burning and gas cars and electricity and his decision and the tightrope Governor Newsom is walking as a liberal environmentalist, but trying to keep the lights on. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.